Welcome to the Forum on your Tally Broadcasting Stations. I'm David Jenkins. My guest this week is State Senator Andy Menar. First thing I want to ask, the governor gave his annual budget address a couple of weeks ago. I'd like to get your reaction on it, even though I know you gave a reaction right after, but there's been some time has passed since then. And then I'd also like to ask you what the job of the General Assembly is now after the budget address, like to work on?
Well, first of all, I think the governor's address this year was different than in past years. Although I think the basic test for any governor, not just Governor Rauner, but I said the same thing about Governor Quinn years ago, is that the budget that is being proposed by any governor has to be balanced. And that is the first step in the budget making process. Unfortunately, Governor Rauner's proposal is far from being in balance. I'll give you one example. This current fiscal year, the governor has spent upwards of $1.3 billion in tax revenue on things that the General Assembly didn't authorize. So beginning on day one, on July 1st of 2018, which is the first day of the fiscal year, the state is going to be that much in the red because of spending that wasn't authorized by the legislature, that was executed by Governor Rauner on all kinds of things. And he admitted to this, not just in his budget book, the documentation of his budget, but also in subsequent public hearings in the Senate that we've held. So we have an immediate hurdle right there, and that's taking care of bills that the governor set into motion that he wasn't authorized to. Beyond that, though, I'm most concerned about shifting the cost of pensions to local property taxpayers. That's something that I have opposed because it doesn't get us a more equitable system of funding. It actually, the governor's proposal, spends more money on schools, produces a less equitable system, and simultaneously raises property taxes. That's not a win for downstate taxpayers. But we have plenty of time to sift through this. That was the first step, and we have about 9 weeks of hearings scheduled in the Senate. And we're on week two, actually. We're well on our way to getting through sifting through the details of the governor's proposal.
Sure. Going back a little bit to the $1.3 million that was not authorized.
Billion? Yeah.
How unprecedented is that exactly?
It's incredibly unprecedented. Matter of fact, I don't think it's ever happened before in state history. The Constitution is quite clear. The legislature appropriates or authorizes spending, and then the executive branch of government actually spends the money. So in this case, the governor spent money that was not authorized by the legislative branch. Both Democrats and Republicans didn't authorize it. So it's an unprecedented move, but I think it also underscores the larger challenges that we've had with the Rauner administration for the past 3 years in getting accurate information, in making sure that there's a communication line between the legislature and the governor about budget making and about budget processes. And, it just is something that doesn't surprise me, unfortunately, because this has been what the Rauner administration has done for 3 years, which has been the direct result has been the budget impasse, which is still having an effect on our economy in the state.
And you can be frank with me on this answer to this question I'm going to ask you, but is there any more optimism being in the fourth year, less optimism, or is it kind of staying the same as far as getting things done?
Well, I think because we had a difficult set of choices last summer where Democrats and Republicans in the legislature came together to pass a budget and then to override Governor Rauner's veto, I think that puts us on a very different footing this year as opposed to last year. So we have some immediate concerns to get through with the governor's budget proposal. First and foremost is what I just mentioned, his spending of $1.3 billion that wasn't authorized. Then we have to sift through some of the mechanics, and there are some bigger parts. For example, shifting the cost of teacher pensions to local school districts while making the system more inequitable, not less inequitable, which has been our goal, is to bridge that gap of inequity. The governor's proposal goes in the wrong direction. Those are the two biggest pieces, but I am optimistic that because we were able to do this last year, that this year we'll be able to do it again. And that starts with face-to-face conversations and public hearings. I'm the chairman of the Appropriations 2 Committee in the Senate. I'm proud to do that as a downstate member of the state Senate from a small town. That's a rarity these days. But that's responsibility that I take seriously, and we've already begun our public hearing process in the Senate to sift through the governor's details.
Moving on to another topic, I know you've made a push to raise awareness of childhood brain cancer, specifically surrounding one individual that's in our district. Can you tell me a little bit about the inspiration, where exactly this initiative has come from?
Yeah, so David, I would say this one is, you know, this one is one of the things that come to my office, and I could give you any number of examples that we have set into motion in Springfield that came directly from a constituent. I'll give you a couple examples, and then I'll talk about this particular bill. The Santel family from Bunker Hill brought an idea to me that would say simply, we want to make sure that there is a greater awareness of anencephaly, which is the condition that babies receive in the womb of their mother. So we passed legislation to make sure that that was part of what we do as a state government to raise awareness about anencephaly. The most recent was another bill, a highway between Bunker Hill and Gillespie that was named after the first casualty in Macoupin County in Vietnam. That came from the Price family in Gillespie and in Dorchester to name that piece of highway after him. You know, this particular one is a new one, and it comes to me from a lot of places, actually, throughout the state. And it's based off of a constituent, Kim Skeff, who lives in Macoupin County. And it's kind of a recognition of Grace's Gift. And that's a program and kind of a movement to raise awareness about childhood brain cancer. So what we look to do in the month of April is pass this bill to make a day that is devoted to making sure that everyone knows that this is a serious issue, and with early detection, like many cancers, this is a treatable cancer, but unfortunately it takes the lives of too many children, you know, young children across the state, and awareness and raising awareness is always a good thing. So this is one of those things that, you know, from time to time come to the office, and it's a very great privilege to have constituents come forward who have had personal experiences in their life that want to use their personal experience for the greater good. And in this case, it's to raise awareness about childhood brain cancer.
Sure, and not that this is necessarily a rare disease or anything, but it's kind of appropriate that this comes, you know, on the heels of what's, I think, nationwide being recognized as Rare Disease Day. So that, I think, maybe adds a little bit of a push in the right direction.
It does. And, you know, again, I use the example of, you know, I would use Jack and Alice Vesper in Staunton, who came to me with an idea for a bill after a series of horrible events that happened many years ago with their son that dealt with a DUI charge. And they could have done many, many things after losing their son, who was, you know, just a young man at Blackburn College at the time. But they took that tragedy and they turned it into something positive. And that's what I would point to with Grace's Gift as well. That's what Kim is doing. She's turning something that was an awful set of circumstances where the life of a young girl was lost because of childhood brain cancer. And they're trying to turn this into something positive to help other people.
Do you know if there's anywhere where someone can go to find out more information about maybe her story or what she's going through? Is there a website or anything? Do you know?
I would point you to their Facebook page. Just search Grace's Gift, and you will have the information about where this bill came from, and you'll see what the family is doing to continue to try to raise awareness. Just search Grace's Gift on Facebook and you'll see that information.
Lastly, real quick, I do want to talk to you about this. We spoke about it a bit last time. Last time we talked, we were unsure of what was going on with school funding, but since our discussion last time, there has been a little bit of clarity involved. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, a couple of things have changed, although we are still waiting for the new law to be set in motion so that our local school districts can see the benefit of the new law. Right now, the State Board of Education is going through some final revisions, and they've brought forward a list of revisions, and it's incumbent upon action to be taken, I think, by the Rauner administration. One way or the other, the state superintendent of schools has made a promise that the new law is going to be set into motion before April, or I should say on April 1st. That's important to me because, in my opinion, as you know, this should have been done months ago, probably back in 2017, I think a credible person would say. You know, we waited 30 years to get this changed. I was proud to lead the effort. It took me 5 years in the state Senate, but I send my kids into a small school in Bunker Hill, the same school I went to, and it took 30 years to change the least equitable system of school funding in the country. But we got to change because Democrats and Republicans work together. It's unfortunate now that we're kind of suffering under the bureaucracy. But nonetheless, I think there is progress that we're seeing even this week in Springfield. And I believe that come April 1st, we're going to see this new law set into motion. And our local school districts, some of which are the most underfunded in the state, are going to begin to see those dollars flow to them so that they can reinstate programs that were cut, so that they can do things that other school districts, frankly, in the northern part of the state take for granted.
So the law, you hope to take effect April 1st. Will the schools will also be receiving the money April 1st, or will it just trickle down a little bit later?
Well, that's a question you'd have to ask the State Board of Education. We're not in charge of how the money, or excuse me, when the money's distributed. What the state superintendent of schools has said to us in a public hearing is that on April 1st, he intends to set the law into motion. So the law is in effect today, just the bureaucracy has kind of taken over and they've drugged their feet.
Gotcha. Annie Menard, thank you so much for joining me today, and good luck as you work in session.
You bet. Thank you.
Again, that was State Senator Annie Menard. And that's going to do it for this edition of The Forum. I'm David Jenkins. Tune in next time, but until then, so long.